You know, we can come to church every Sunday, every week, and hear great preaching. Outstanding preaching, actually. We can hear some of the best preachers. We could invite Joseph Prince to come and minister here. We could invite Bill Johnson to come and minister here. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite preacher? Jesus. James. Happy birthday, Alan, by the way. It's Alan's birthday, 47 years old. Happy birthday, brother. So thanks for the compliment, though, but right back at you. We could invite the greatest preachers in the world. And I guarantee you, in 2 weeks' time, you won't remember the majority of what they shared. But your heart could be changed. Your heart could be warmed. Your heart could be fired up. You could have new revelation. And you know, when we're preaching, when someone is preaching, it's a ministry of the Spirit. It's not information that you go home remembering. But preaching is the Holy Spirit moving through someone and impacting hearts and transforming hearts and transforming your very being for His glory. And so tonight we're going to share a couple of things. I've got a few of my youth team who are going to share a few things. We just had the most amazing weekend away, just getting vision for youth this year. And so I've just asked them to share a few things, and they're going to share that a little later. And so you're going to hear a whole bunch of different people share a whole bunch of different things. And there's no ways you can remember it all. But the Holy Spirit will be ministering to your hearts, and He'll be renewing your mind. It says in Romans 12 that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so open up your heart, open up your mind to be renewed tonight. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn in your Bible to the book of Mark? It is going to come up on the screen, but I am a bit of a traditionalist, whatever that means, even though I'm only 25. You know what's cool about people who get saved brand new? You know, just they never step foot in a church, but then Jesus saves them. You know what's the best about them? They have no unlearning to do. Hey? How cool is that? And so I'm young, and I just thank Jesus that He is teaching me through wonderful friends and His Spirit through His Word. And I'm a bit of a traditionalist in that I like to look at the Scriptures on the page just because it just works better for me. I whoa, that's amazing, and then I highlight it or whatever, make notes in my Bible. So it is going to come on the screen, but it's also going to be, I'd also like you to read here. Okay, is that cool? All right. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to read the whole book of Mark tonight. No, I'm kidding. We're not. All right, we're there. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about Jesus. Why is Judaism fairly dead? And I say fairly because it's not rapidly advancing. Why? Because it's absent of Jesus. It's absent of the person of Jesus. They're still waiting for Him. They're still looking for Him. But the gospel is all about Jesus. The Bible is all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, everything points to the person of Jesus Christ. And so the title of what I want to share with you very quickly tonight is Jesus is Perfect Theology. Jesus is Perfect Theology. What does that mean? Well, the person of Jesus has revealed the nature of the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that when the Word became flesh, when God Himself took on flesh and became a man, He was revealing to us who God is like, what He is like. And so I would put it to you tonight, my friend, that anything, any character about the Father that you cannot substantiate in the person of Jesus Christ is questionable. Because Jesus is perfect theology. Everything about the gospel is about Jesus Christ. And we carry on reading. In verse 10, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, He saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on Him like a dove. I'd like to declare to you tonight, my friend, the heavens are open over your life. The heavens are open and you can hear God Himself for your life. The Holy Spirit can breathe upon you right now. It's not about what you've done. It's not about the type of person you are. It's not about who you know, how much you know. The heavens are open. They have been opened. And He wants to shower. He wants to rain down upon you tonight. And then a couple of verses down. In verse 27 it says, so Jesus has just driven out an evil spirit, and in verse 27 it says, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching. And with authority. You know, we can hear great teachings. These disciples, these people had heard teachings from Pharisees and the teachers of the law before. But they never heard it with authority. Jesus spoke with authority. A man convinced about the kingdom. This gospel is one that comes with authority. When the gospel is preached in its fullness, when the fullness of who Jesus is revealed, there's authority. But when it's empty, when we're just preaching principles, then it's just information. It's just a motivational message. But when we speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ and reveal Him in our preaching, in our meetings, when our worship reflects something of who He is, there's authority in that place. Because you will rise up, you will know who you are because of what He has done for you. News about Him spread quickly. Because of what Jesus was doing and preaching, news spread quickly. Now think about this for a second. The man, we're going to get into that story a little later, but the man that was healed by his friends, the man on the mat, his friends lowered him down through the roof. They opened the roof and they lowered him down to Jesus. Now you know how he heard Jesus was there. News spread quickly because God was moving. Where Jesus was, there was action. There was power. Demons were fleeing with shrieks. It was crazy. It was so crazy, people said, he's got demons in him. That's how crazy it was. It was chaotic, and news spread quickly. And when the news got to you, you either did one of two things. Like, yeah, whatever, he's probably just one of these big prophets, wants to be the main man. Or you got hungry. I'm like, really? He's healing people? Really? This could be the Messiah? Really? And you did whatever you could to get to Him. And my friend, you can sit here tonight and question. You can see God move and question and say, I don't know. I don't know. It's not for me. But if you respond, if you say, God, I want it. I want what you're doing in these days. I want to see revival. I'm not happy with average. I'm not happy with normal. I don't want powerless teaching. I don't want dry theology. I want power. I want authority. When you respond to that, my friend, you'll see Him move in your life. And so news was spreading quickly. But the difference was, some people didn't respond, others did. And then we go to verse 40. Have a look at verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now you know, sitting in this room, that God Almighty can heal you. You know right now that God can heal. But the question many people have in their minds is He willing? We must preach on the goodness of God. I do not see one person in the Gospels that Jesus turned away. I don't. And I am not going to pander to theological ideas that make us feel better about our experience. Jesus healed everyone. And His words here in verse 41 were filled with compassion. He doesn't do things because He wants to show off. My friend, the heartbeat of the gospel is God is filled with love. In fact, He is love. Behind the universe, behind this earth, is a God filled with love. And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out His hand, touched the man, and His words were, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him. And he was cured. My friend, Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing. And you may well have questions because of experience. You may well have experienced circumstances where God didn't come through. I'm very, very aware of that. But does that change who God is? Does it change who Jesus is? Let me just go back a couple of verses here. In verse 14, in fact, yes, verse 14 and 15. Just have a look there, chapter 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. Proclaiming the good news of God. We can get up and we can preach things from the Bible that pander to our circumstances, that make us feel comfortable about our circumstances, that give us answers. Or we can preach the good news of who Jesus is and what He is like. And Jesus said this in verse 15, "The time has come," He said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The kingdom of God is near. Some other translations say, the kingdom of God is at hand. You can reach out and touch it. It's right there. It's kind of like, it's like just stretch out your hand, Gary, as far as you can. Can you see His hand? Okay, hold it up. It's almost like the kingdom of God is there. Touch it, bro, touch it. It's like, it's right there. Every now and then He touches it, but sometimes He doesn't. It's a stretch. Thanks, bro. Thanks. It's like it's right there. And sometimes we don't get it. It's not a thing of works. Don't hear what I'm not saying tonight. But it's right there. It's right there for you and I to reach out and touch and grab hold of. You see, we live in a reality where the kingdom has not fully invaded this world. Jesus paid the ultimate price, but His kingdom has not yet fully invaded this world. It says in the Scriptures, the kingdom of our God shall become the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God. They will. But right now. So, we're living in this reality where the kingdom of heaven is available. It's right there. But it's not fully available. It's not fully here yet. We still see the results of the fall. And so what happens is, there may well be times in our lives when we suffer unexpected, seemingly unnecessary loss. But we shouldn't be living with the expectation. We live with the reality, but not the expectation. It's a tension that we hold. By living with such an expectation, we're blocking the channels through which God's kingdom can invade. This means that when I lay hands on the sick, each and every one, when I lay my hands on a dead person, every single one, I must expect the fullness of the kingdom of heaven to invade earth at that given moment, at any given situation. Just because I may be seemingly living in an alternative reality to what I may have seen before, doesn't change the fact that the kingdom of heaven wants to and can fully invade that circumstance. If I have any doubt of what I have or haven't seen, if I have any doubt just because of what I have or haven't seen, means that I don't entirely believe the promises that Jesus made. Now, I'm not talking about disappointment. Talking about doubt, genuine questions. My circumstances do not, they cannot determine the truth of what Jesus paid for us at the cross and what He promised me. How can they? Those past circumstances, those disappointments, should not change my theology. Instead, they should serve as reminders that this earth so desperately needs the kingdom of heaven to invade. What we have to learn, friends, is that this earth has been under immense bondage. It's been under slavery since Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. God cursed the very ground. He cursed this earth, and we've heard before that authority was handed to Satan. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the God of this age. That's talking about Satan. Satan's in control right now. He's the God of this age, and he's blinding the minds of unbelievers. He's inflicting sickness. It's not God. The kingdom of heaven is a completely different reality to what is known here on earth. Completely different. There is no sorrow. There is no crying. There is no pain. There are no tears in the kingdom of heaven. None whatsoever. Every tear, it says in Revelation 21, will be wiped away. But you see, this kingdom that we live living here on earth is under such bondage, under such slavery because of the fall, that it actually can't handle the kingdom of heaven invading. It doesn't even know what to do with itself. It freaks out. Are you getting what I'm saying? A few of you. Now, the earth is in a great darkness. Would you agree with me? Would you agree? The earth is in great darkness. It is. And people say God is omnipresent. Now, I'm not questioning His omnipresence tonight. I'm not questioning that He is everywhere. He is. I understand that. And while that is theoretically true, I honestly have difficulty believing that God is in the cells of a cancer that is ravaging a 19-year-old boy who has such plans for the future, tearing his family apart, giving him only months to live. I do. I honestly have difficulty believing that God is in that HIV virus that is riddling a 5-year-old boy who didn't deserve that virus, who sits with tears in his eyes, with the hope and dreams for a future, destroying his life, destroying his family. Is God in that? Is He in that? I do not believe that He is. And I really struggle to believe that He is. You see, what happened in the Garden of Eden was the kingdom of heaven, the Garden of Eden, was where God was fully manifest, where He walked. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they couldn't handle the truth. Their minds couldn't handle the fullness of who God is because their spirits died within them. And I honestly believe that when He created that barrier between the Garden of Eden, guarding the way to the Tree of Life, and the rest of the earth, I honestly believe mankind entered a reality where God was not. Now, hear what I'm saying now. He's still omnipresent. He's everywhere, all the time. Absolutely. But we're living in this tension where we don't see Him. People say, why is there suffering in the world today? Why is there pain in the world? If God is real, then why would there be suffering? Why would there be the sickness? Why the earthquakes? Because of what Adam and Eve did. God rightfully and justly cast them out of the Garden of Eden. And He placed them in a reality where He was not. And so began the journey of redemption. And so began the story of Jesus restoring the kingdom to His people. And one day, Jesus came along, born of a virgin, didn't carry the same DNA as His forefather Adam, didn't carry that sinful nature, lived a perfect life as a man, 100% man. Listen now, Jesus did not perform miracles because He was God. Jesus performed miracles as a picture of what you and I can perform when we are in right relationship with God. Because if we think that way, then we disqualify ourselves immediately. Jesus healed because He was God. I can't do it. My friend, Jesus paid the full price, paid in full. He said, it is finished. He paid the full price for you and I to live in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven today, now. and walk in right relationship with God the Father. And so walk a life that brings and ushers in His kingdom. In the same way Jesus did it, we can too. Because of what Jesus did. Because of what He paid. It's like, I shared this example this weekend. It's like, my dad owns a mansion in the Seychelles. I don't know, let's call it Sam Schlanger, because I'm not realistically going to go live in the Seychelles. But let's say my dad owns a mansion, and I'm talking the mansion of mansions in Umhlanga. Fully furnished, fully kitted, DSTV paid for, everything, services paid for forever. And then he dies. And he leaves everything to me. And then Corinne and I stay living in our two-bedroom house for the rest of our lives. Not one house stays empty. Friend, Jesus paid the full price. He paid the highest price. How can we live in anything less? At least open the door. At least step in. You may not see everything, but at least step in. The time has come for us to stop dancing around these theological ideas that pander to our earthly circumstances, and that we rise up and we see that there is an alternative reality, and it's waiting to burst into this reality. It is the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom that was before. The kingdom of our God. My friend, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. Through us. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's paid for us. He's bought for us. I, for one, don't want, will not allow circumstances to alter what I see promised to me by my Father in His Holy Spirit-inspired Word. And so when I see anything that provides any question of the goodness of God, even in the Bible, that provides any doubt of God's goodness and love and compassion, I must look at the life of Jesus. Because the gospel's all about Him. The disciples, when the disciples had been to Samaria, and they rejected Him. Samaria rejected Jesus. The disciples said, should we call for God to rain down sulfur from heaven to destroy the city? You know what Jesus' answer was? You are of the wrong spirit. No, we should not. You are of the wrong spirit. Jesus Christ, the fullness of God made flesh. I am willing, Mark 1:42. I am willing. Go to verse 17 of chapter 2. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I want to tell you, my friend, you're accepted in this place. You're welcome. You are so welcome in this place. Because I'm not interested in those that think they have it all together. I'm not interested in those that think they don't need any help. They come to church because they're righteous. They come to church because they live a good life. I'm not interested. in that attitude. I'm interested in those that are just hungry for God to touch them and change them and show them His goodness and walk in relationship with Him. I'm interested in those people. Because there is a Father who wants to shower His love on you. There is a Father who wants you to know how much He loves you. And then in chapter 3, Mark 3, verse 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to Him those He wanted, and they came to Him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, which just means sent ones, that they might be with Him, and that He might send them out. To preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And then it goes on to list the 12. And then finally, last verse for you tonight. Go to Mark chapter 16. In verse 15, 16 verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe." Notice that. Those who believe. It's not even these signs will accompany you who preach. It says these signs will accompany those who believe. That's awesome. These people that say healing was only for the apostles and disciples. These signs will accompany those who believe. In My name. I understand. I have no authority outside of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that. What I said earlier about Jesus didn't perform miracles because He was God. He performed miracles because He was showing us the power available to us when we have a right relationship with God. I wasn't disqualifying the person of who Jesus is. Not at all, my friend. If anything, it highlights the price that He paid for us. Without Jesus, I truly am nothing. Without Jesus, life is empty and pointless. And it's a bunch of worms sitting around trying to figure out life. You have Richard Dawkins writing books like, "You just deluded." And we all sit and debate. And so all he does is sit and have debates all day long. And then he's going to die one day. And like, "My life, I just debated stuff." Well done, bro. Like, great life. My life is empty without Jesus. In My name, Jesus' name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues this weekend. This weekend, this man right here. Man right here. He was speaking like Portuguese. He was having a full-on conversation with, I don't know, in Portuguese, Jared. Saturday night, we're going to tell you about it. Right now, so you guys want to come up. But old Jared, just Holy Spirit was moving in the most incredible ways, and people praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, and Jared just went on this whole mission. It was hilarious. It was. In My name, they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Now, is Jesus talking about one day when you get to heaven? Or is He talking about when He's gone to heaven and we're still on earth? It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people. And they will get well. After that, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. He confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't say the signs that had accompanied were confirmed by the word. Think about this. It doesn't say the signs that had come were confirmed by the word. Too often we're like, where's that in the Bible? Where's that in the Bible? Is it there? No. Where's that in the Bible? The word was preached, and then the signs confirmed it. We must preach the good news, friends. The good news of the gospel of who Jesus is, and his goodness, and mercy, and compassion. The same mercy, compassion, and love that drove him through those 12 earth-shattering hours of the cross. We must preach that good news. Because that good news will be confirmed by signs and wonders. They will come. I will not let circumstances reduce what I see in God's most holy word. So just, I'm going to ask my team to just to share a little bit about what they felt this weekend. We are just so excited about the future of youth and Fusion. Just got such vision. Just been so envisioned to see God move, to see God touch this broken world, to see the kingdom of heaven invade this earth. And so we took our team away and we just said, you know what? Let's get with God. Let's call out. You know, Bill Johnson says this. He says, when we pray for the sick and we may not see results, we shouldn't go and ask questions and create theologies around why we didn't see results. We should go back to the drawing board, our knees. Powerlessness is inexcusable. Not my words, so you can't stone me for them. Bill Johnson, on that one. Okay. Heavy, I know. Hey, I'm just as... Anyway, I should shut up. So, we just had a wonderful time calling out to God for His power to move. I'll let Kendra start.
Hi, everyone. just on the weekend, God's glory just came, and He enveloped us, and I just want to say, if you had any idea how much God wants to meet with you, and if you had any idea how long He's been waiting with His arms open just for you to come and step into what He's already paid for, you wouldn't even hesitate. If you realized how that He's already done everything for you, and He's just waiting there. And He longs so much to meet with us. It's like He's just expecting it the whole time, and all He's waiting for is for us to respond. And as soon as we respond, He just comes with His glory, and His glory just, it changes everything. You just lose all the sense of everything that's wrong with you, and you realize everything that's so perfect in Him. And so if you really understood how much God yearns to meet with you, and how much He yearns for you to come into His glory, then not one of us would hesitate and just running into His arms. And it's not just a couple of goosebumps and shivers, it's His full-blown glory. And just the glory that He has that just it radiates for miles, and he's just so huge. That glory is what he wants to wrap us in. And it says he wants to clothe us with our heavenly dwelling. Our spirits are already in heaven. He wants to clothe our bodies with glory. Yeah. So, seriously, God yearns to clothe you. And all that we have to do is respond.